That duplex was the first property I bought after I left my job. While I was in LL, man, I came obsessed with listening to podcasts. So I listen to podcasts, I'm driving the truck 8 hours a day. And eventually I became a professional real estate person, just different podcasts.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm here with George Gibson. He's got a fun story because this could be cool to go down. He was a mailman for 5 years. His entry point to buying houses was doing so while he was on his mail route. He's been buying rentals and eventually he was able to quit his job and do real estate full time because of his rental portfolio. So it's going to be a fun conversation to dive into. George, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks so much for joining us here. Hey, so tell me, when did you buy your first property? Just tell me how you got stumbled on to your first deal.
Okay. So my first deal in real estate, I knew when I bought my primary home that I wouldn't live there, you know, forever. So my first property, I always looked at real estate as an investment, even if I'm living there. So that's from the beginning. Never stay here for the rest of my life. Yeah. So my first property, I was starting looking for properties and I was looking for a starter home. And I came across a property, this was probably, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house in Florida market, and it was $130,000. And that was like my first regular FHA loan, 3.5% down.
Yeah.
And I felt like it appraised right at 135. Okay. And I thought, man, it's not a really great deal. It's a nice house, but it's not the best deal.
Yep.
So that's where I started at right there.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So that was your primary residence. Did you end up turning that into a rental? Is that one you still occupy today?
No. So that was my first property. And I didn't know too much about real estate at the time, but for some reason I was talking to the realtor who sold me the property and I was like, how much does it cost to maybe sell this property? And she was like, it's free to list it. I'm like, really? Cause I seen properties on my road, you know, like this was like 2 years later selling for a lot more, you know? So I'm like, it's free to list it. So I said, let's list it. So we list the property for sale. And, you know, like any other seller, you think your property is more valuable than the rest of the world.
Yeah, right.
So, but I ended up selling it. And it was like my first time actually making, I think we profit maybe around like $25,000.
Okay.
So I'm like, I didn't even try to do that. I'm making my job probably like $35,000, $40,000 a year.
Yep.
And I just, you know, sold this house. And that was like eye-opener. Like, dang, people make a lot of money when they sell houses.
Sure. Yeah, right. So what was your first entry point into rental property? What was the first deal you bought there?
So in rental property, after buying that first home, selling that first home, I was like, okay, I got to find a multifamily. Because as anybody know, a starter home is like, it doesn't pay you. But if you buy a duplex, my whole goal was to live in one side and rent the other side out. That was like the ultimate plan. Yep. And if anybody knows, like in real estate, you can't just have your eye on one set thing. So my first rental property was, I ended up purchasing a duplex, really, really, really bad neighborhood, but I was a mailman and I knew the area and it wasn't the worst, but it was cheap. So I'm like, if I can buy this duplex, this would be like perfect way to get started in real estate.
Yeah.
So it was an auction. I went to the auction, property went up for sale and we bidding. And I stopped at around $70,000. The person bid $75,000, but the seller didn't accept the offer. So as you know, the seller didn't accept the offer. So the property ended up going up for sale for $110,000. And I'm like, whoa, it's probably on the market. Cause I was mad I didn't go higher on the bid. But when you bid, there's no inspection. Like,
yeah. So was it a foreclosure?
No, it wasn't foreclosure. It was just regular auction. Here they do where
regular auction where the seller took the property to auction instead of listing it for sale with a realtor.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So didn't sell. Auction failed, if you will. Then they ended up listing the property.
Yes, they listed the property for $110,000. I'm like, whoa, this property up for sale. So immediately put in an offer. You know, I think we came in around like $100,000, but ultimately, like, the property appraised for $78,000 and we was in a contract for $100,000. So I'm like, oh man, it's bad. You know, bad appraiser. I felt like it was worth $100,000. So I contested appraisal, which I learned as a buyer, if the appraised lower than what you're on the contract for, I kind of had an advantage in that time in the market. Maybe not this damn time, but at that time I had an advantage. Like, hey, your property appraised at $78,000.
Yeah.
So the seller ended up coming down to like 85. Owner financed 5,000, the bank financed the 78.
Okay.
So that was my first. It was duplex, one bedroom, one bath, east side. Each side was currently rented for, and I learned this the hard way too. The landlord, the seller told me it was rented each side for $600 each. Well, when I purchased the property on the last day and got the leases, they were renting for $550 each. So I learned, you know.
Yeah, they stretched that.
The leases.
Yes. Yeah. Stretch is not the right word. They lied about it. Okay.
Correct.
Did you end up moving into one side?
No. I didn't move into this property. This was like my first property that I purchased and it's completely rented out. That was a duplex. And yeah. I kept that, you know, for a while. But I also learned as I kept this duplex, it was kind of like a C minus D neighborhood. So it was constant, you know, me going to the property. And it was just kind of a headache.
You still own it today?
No. So maybe a year ago, I came to the conclusion where I wanted to start purchasing properties in better, you know, like maybe B class neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So for that property, you know, I ended up selling that property and I sold that property. It took a while because you got to realize people, when you're selling a property in like a lower class neighborhood, the most likely person to buy is an investor. Investor wanted at a discount. So, you know, I ended up selling it not for like maybe a market full price, but an investor bought it as a rental property for himself.
Sure. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batchleads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. Sounds like you learned a lot through that process. You learned a lot from the appraisal process when appraisal comes short. And, you know, at the time you were buying, it was a more balanced market. It wasn't like today's seller's market. And then you're right, getting the leases, reading those in advance to validate what the seller represented to you. And then it sounds like your overall kind of morph in your investment criteria has changed just from some of the life lessons of managing, you know, C minus D properties, that while you can change a property's physical characteristics, you cannot change the neighborhood.
Exactly. And the people that are maybe willing to stay in the neighborhood, there's only a certain type of people going to stay in certain areas.
Sure.
So I learned it's more so about the tenant makes like your life easy or bad or hard.
Correct.
So if you get a property, now I look at it, my whole goal, if I wouldn't stay there or I wouldn't let my auntie or uncle stay there, I'm pretty much not interested too much in buying it as a rental property. Yeah. Because the person, the main issue for that way is a person, when you buy selling a property at low income, the people normally staying in that property typically are not really making that much. So how can they pay you that much? Like everybody trying to charge really high rent or even market rent, but normally the people that's willing to stay in this property not making that much money, you know?
Right. Yeah, they get oftentimes it's a much higher, their rent as a percentage of income can really push, and there's a big limit on that ceiling where you can even push rents to versus, you know, some of the, like you said, where you're headed towards that B-class neighborhood where things are just very different.
Correct. So that's the biggest thing I learned. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're buying these 30, like not, maybe not now, but even right now, probably $80,000-$70,000 properties. And if it's in a, you know, stable neighborhood, go for it. But you got to think, you don't want, it was just a rough neighborhood. So you don't want to just be buying a whole bunch of properties cheap and making your life tough. If, because you got to be a right type of person to manage them type of people too.
That's right.
It can get, you know, kind of tricky situations.
Well, I think that's, Alex, I'll go take that one step further. It's fair for folks to reflect internally as to what type of person, really what that means is what type of investor you are. Do you want to be very hands-on? And if so, you need to be buying something that's very hands-on. If you're the type of person who, you know, wants to write a check and never want a phone call again in your life, you need to be buying probably a triple net deal on the commercial side to where it's literally, you know, you set it and forget it. So there's a whole range for anybody in any personality style to get as involved or as uninvolved as they want to be.
Exactly. And yeah, the biggest mistake, I ain't gonna say the biggest mistake I've made, but my goal at first, I was like, I want 100 rental properties cheap in this type of neighborhood. Yeah. And then now, you know, present, I'm looking for a property that cash flow a lot. So if I can have one property that cash flow 3,000 versus five properties that total up to 3,000, I'd rather take that one property that cash flow, you know,
a lot more. At the end of the day, isn't it about the outcome?
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, that's what you're looking for, the cash flow. And then how you get there, there's multiple ways to get there. Then it's about finding the one that's best for you.
Yes. So that's the biggest lesson I learned there. Yeah. I'd rather have less amount of properties that cash flow more than to have a whole bunch of properties that cash flow a little bit.
Yeah. Bring me to current. How many properties do you have today?
So currently right now, we're selling a lot of properties. So probably 1, 2, 3. Right now, about 6 single family homes.
Yep.
A lot of them properties are getting sold because, you know, the market's so high. So now I'm more so aiming towards short-term rentals. All rental properties, I pretty much at this point trying to sell, and I focus on short-term rentals or either flips.
Sure. Short-term rentals, because the cash flow can be so much greater than the long-term rentals.
Yes. And, you know, with COVID, a lot of, you know, people like me, if when COVID hit, a lot of tenants in these neighborhoods, you know, stopped paying rent, or just in general across the world, people stopped paying rent and you couldn't evict them. So it was like at a point, like you felt like you owned these properties, but at the same time, I felt like I had no control of the property because I got to go to court, got to pay a lawyer, eviction. It's like a money pit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. For the audience's sake, tell them where you're at in Florida.
I'm in Vero Beach, Florida. So
Vero Beach. Yep.
It's a small city. We're maybe close to Orlando, an hour from Orlando, Palm Beach. That's like the big areas
around. Yep. I've been there. It's a beautiful place.
Yes, we're growing. So the people here are not really, you know, they're used to a small knit town.
Yeah.
And now it's like people starting to come here. So it's changing every day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. How long from the day you bought the duplex, your first investment property, how long did it take before you ended up leaving your job?
So, all right. I know you probably think this is crazy, but that duplex was the first property I bought after I left my job. When I left, I was a mailman for 5 years, right?
Yeah.
From age 25 to 30.
Yeah.
And while I was a mailman, I came obsessed with like listening to podcasts like this.
Yeah.
So I listen to podcasts, I'm driving the truck. I'm listening to podcasts, driving the truck 8 hours a day. And eventually I pretty much became a professional real estate, you know, person just off different podcasts.
Yeah.
But I knew all this information. But I'm talking to people, telling them my ideas, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this full time, you know, quit my job. And people looking at me like, man, you crazy. You got government, you got insurance, you got 401k. This is the ideal life. So I was telling, you know, you can't sometimes when, you know, I would say God talking to me or the universe talking to you, telling you that you have a vision, you can't really tell other people your plan because they don't have the same vision as you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was my biggest thing, hurdle getting over, telling people like, hey, I seen a house, this price, this. And they were like, man, you know how much work he's going to need? And it's like, ah, you're right. So I just kept, you know, skipping out. So eventually around that it was around the fifth year mark. I was just, a guy told me, he was like, George, the day you actually put 2 feet, you know, in real estate and stop just trying to dabble, because I had got my real estate license, that's when, you know, you'd be more successful. So sure. I had like a few days, I was off at the post office out for a little bit. And I just made up my mind that night. I was in the bed. It's crazy, right? Let me tell you a story. I was in bed and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I literally Googled, would God tell me to quit my job? Mind you, I just had my first son. So he's turning one. Like he had just turned one. So he's a year old. I'm like, for some reason, something's telling me, just leave. You know, and I'm like, I got a new son. I got a house. I got bills. I got just like everybody. So I Googled it. And, you know, it came up with a whole bunch of random people, thoughts. But for some reason, I turned the TV on. And as soon as I turned the TV on, the guy was like, yes, you will be successful. Yes, you will be able to pay your bills. Yes, you will be able to survive. Yes. He was like, yes. Yeah, it was like a preacher preaching. And I'm like, man, that was because I'm praying. I'm saying, God, if you tell me to quit my job, I want all four tires to be flat in the morning. And that's like a clear signal that I don't need to be going there. Yeah. So when I said that and the TV like, yes, your answer is yes to whatever you're thinking.
Yeah.
I got up that morning, took my clothes, took my side, threw them in the garbage can, and I didn't have no clothes to wear to work. So I couldn't go to work. That was the end of that.
That's a great story. You may be the only person ever to tell me, instead of looking for a sign from God, they Googled it.
Yeah, I'm good because I'm like, man, hey, Google and YouTube is my life.
I just love how you Googled it.
Yes.
That's so great.
I mean, so I really quit. And then, but the key was I wasn't, for people like me, I was making like $45,000 a year, you know, as a mailman.
Yeah.
So I was never like a big earner. I see people all the time. They make 100,000 plus, much money a year, 100,000 plus. And my thing is, I was all about how much I keep. So I had no expenses, no car payments, no house payment. My home was a house with a guest house. So no house payment. And that's the key. You know, you don't have to make $1 million a year. But if you design your life with assets instead of liabilities, you would be able to keep it more. So my whole thing is, asset to me is something that brings in money. A home that doesn't bring in money is kind of a liability until the day you sell it.
Yep. No, that's right.
So that's the key. You don't have to necessarily make a ton of money. You just need to keep a ton of money that you make.
I think you hit it on the head. You know, you need to keep those liabilities low. I'm reminded of Kiyosaki's game. I think it's called Cash Flow. His game, you know, my kids and I'll play it probably 3-4 times a year. And inevitably, you know, you end up getting a job at the beginning of the game. You're assigned a job and, you know, you got a doctor all the way down to janitor, if you will. And, you know, the doctor obviously makes substantially more, but their expenses are so much higher. And then the janitor is just the inverse. Inevitably, whoever ends up winning the game is almost always in the bottom half of the income and the expense equation, because it is just faster to get to financial freedom when your expenses are lower. Man. It's less about how much you earn. It's really about how much you hit it on the head, how much you keep, because it's so much faster to get there.
Right. Yes. So I always tell young people, when they buy their first house, I know, like my wife wanted, you know, the big house, yard, no guests, no roommates, none of that. But it's like, it's long-term, because if you can buy a property that holds two families or an extra top basement, you know, where you can rent out and cover some of that mortgage, that allows you to save another $1,000 or $1,500, whatever it is, a month. And it's compound. So people won't, you know, fast. And I say 10% every month goes a long way.
That's exactly right. What has been, in your experience, from what you've learned over the last handful of years, what's been the biggest challenge and then your biggest learning lesson?
A lot of challenges. Okay. So biggest challenge. Honestly, the thing about real estate, it was already in me. So my dad, I've been around real estate probably since I was 10 years old. So I was a mailman. I worked at Advance America, Cash Advance Place. I would say I was lost until I actually started doing real estate, because real estate was one thing I always succeeded at. You know, I passed the tests. Like, I'm not a good test taker. I passed all my real estate tests to get my license, flying colors. I'm like, I never do good on tests, you know? So it's kind of a natural, like LeBron playing basketball, if you can say. I didn't really never go do nothing crazy learning. And the challenges I had were me moving maybe fast, just buying cheap properties and realizing that wasn't really what I wanted to do because it was just a lot of evictions, a lot of turnover, a lot of late rent. And that's something I learned I don't like. I'm more of a control person. So I'd rather have a house empty than have somebody not paying rent. That's just me personally. But so I learned, you know, I'd rather have less headache properties and more profitable properties, but not as many properties. So I'd rather spend more money on a property than to buy two, you know, $100,000 properties, you know?
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of lessons that obviously you've learned, and to your credit, it is because you've taken action. Because you get in, just do.
Yeah. And like I told you, that first house I purchased, I didn't buy it saying it's going to appreciate in a year or two. And that's people's biggest thing. They're like, there's no good deals out there. There's no good deals out there. When I bought every single one of my properties, they were like, you know, decent deals. They may have been like 80% under, but you can fast forward 2-3 years later, they're like home run deals. So I didn't plan for it to be a home run deal. It just, if you keep on doing the same thing every day, if you work out every day, eventually you're going to get muscles. You know,
That's right.
And that's what happened. You start somewhere. Even if you buy a property and it appraises exactly what you purchased it for, real estate is safer than a lot of other things. So that's why, you know.
And you got the compound effect working to your advantage.
Yes. It didn't feel like it would be a lot at the time, but, you know, as time keep progressing, it becomes a lot of appreciation.
Yeah. Let's do this. I want to move on to our final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, easy to get in trouble, hard to get out of trouble. Your dad said it. What about that resonates with you so much?
Well, oh man, that go real deep because say you get a DUI. I got a large family, got a lot of friends. Yep. And as I noticed, you know, it's like when you get in trouble, any type of way, you may get out, but it's always like a 2 minute, you know, you drinking something and driving, get a DUI. Just in 2 minutes, you got a DUI. But it's going to take you years, you know, to pay it off. It's going to cost you a lot of money and time. So it just resonate with me. You know, that's one thing. It's easy to get in trouble.
It goes along with what I just said, compound effects. And you can compound it the wrong way just as easily as you can compound it the right way.
Yeah. And it's crazy. The first time he told me that, I was finna go do something stupid. And he passed by me and I'm going the other way. And he called me. You know, it's easy to get in trouble, hard to get out. Click up. I'm like, what? You know, but it makes sense now, you know?
Yeah. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. But first, a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask your personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Getting uncomfortable. So I would say, you know, hang around people that you normally may not hang around.
Yeah.
Doing things that make you, like, if something make me nervous, I'm like, I got to go that way. So quitting my job made me real nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I got to go see what it's about because I could not live my life. Like when I go to funerals, I always listen to what the pastor say about, you know, the person's life. And I'm like, a lot of times they only mention like the things that really had a big impact. Evidently, they don't have time to go over your whole life. And when they mention my life, I want it to be an impact. I don't think they're going to say, well, he delivered the most accurate mail in the world or whatever you're doing. You know, you want to be like, you know, you taught kids or you helped the homeless or you had 10, 12 kids or you know, something that's what at funerals they talk about, things that actually help other people.
Right. Well, outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Outside of real estate, traveling. I like to go to different places because when I travel, you might think it's still real estate though, because everywhere I go, I'm always looking at real estate. So I might go somewhere and see tiny houses or just see different things. And then then I'm relaxed and it goes in my brain better. So when I come back home, you know, I'm back ready to go to work. And I also got, maybe I met somebody or seen something new.
Yeah.
I like to travel.
Yeah. No, that's great. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Helping other people make money.
Yeah.
So that's all, you know, I help people and I provide housing and help other people make money. So that's like my gift back to the world. Like I got employees and stuff. So that's what I do. And
can change a life, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who want to learn more about you, they want to connect, they want to follow you online, where can they find you?
Yes. The best way to find me is on Instagram, George Through Real Estate. Also got a YouTube channel, George Through Real Estate, and podcast, New American Dream.
Perfect. We'll make sure we get it to everything, all those links posted down below in the show notes. George, I appreciate your time coming on. It's fun to hear how you got into this business. We all have a unique journey, but to be a postman, to be buying deals on en route. And Tony Robbins, I heard this years ago, he calls it net. No extra time. You podcasted, listened to podcasts 8 hours a day while being a mailman in net, during no extra time, right? You were just en route doing it. And it took no additional effort from your standpoint to be able to consume the information and improve yourself and ultimately change your life and change your trajectory that you're now on and probably the trajectory of your children and your family forever. So I think it's wonderful.
Exactly. And the most important thing I want people to take away from it is it may not be real estate. A lot of people want to do real estate because I do real estate. But I think, like I told you earlier, I've been doing it since I was 10 years old indirectly.
Yeah.
People need to, because I'm delivering mail, but I was really gifted at real estate. Sit back and collect. Like when you get like the next 10 phone calls, see what people ask you for. Like if I just track my phone calls right now, I just sit here all day. I guarantee you majority of them be asking about a real estate problem. When people call you with a certain problem, maybe you don't know how to get revenue from it yet, but lean towards that because they calling you to make cakes all the time. How can I do more, you know, get paid to make cakes? And I think that's the simplest way instead of just following what's hot, you know?
Entrepreneurs get paid to solve problems.
Exactly.
Lean into it.
Yes.
No, that's great. I appreciate the time here, George. For everybody at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.